Oh, it's so good to be in a room filled with people of faith. Man, good looking people too. I'm so glad I'm not in Greenville anymore. That was hard preaching over there, but here it's, oh, just kidding. They all know we love them. But, you know, this morning as we look at the Word of God, one of the thoughts that I want you to actually write down and to think about is, what is your vision for 2021? We've already been in 2021 for a whole month. You know, do you have any thoughts, any plans, any purposes? Do you have a goal for the end of the year of the things in God? You know, because has the Lord given you a direction? It's a question. I believe that God wants to guide us each and every day. Amen? I believe that He wants to direct and order our steps every single day. So He's speaking to us for those that will listen. What was that, Kia? For those of us that will listen. We're going to have to listen. He's speaking all the time. Sometimes we drown Him out with the noise of this world. But God said, hey, turn the world off, and I want you to hear what I have to say. Because where I want you, where I want to bring you to, it's just going to be incredible. Where I want to bring you to, you can't bring that caboose you've been dragging. You've been dragging a wagon last year, and you need to break that loose. Cut it loose. Whatever it was, the thoughts that were hindering you, He said, you're not going to be able to accomplish what I have for you until you cut that wagon loose. Those thoughts that held you back last year can't hold you back this year. The way that people talked about you last year, you don't care this year. Amen? You can't. We got to cut them wagons loose and say, listen, no matter how I responded to people last year, I'm not responding this year. So many have been dragging a wagon for so long, the wheel, you don't even have wheels on your wagon. You don't even have rims. It's just axles dragging the ground, and you're wondering why it's so hard to get anything done or even to see what God has for us in the future. Because we're looking back trying to figure out how to bring this stinking thing with us. But I believe that He wants to speak to you very clearly. And the first thing He always says is cut away. Cut away. Cut away. Cut away that wagon that you've been dragging. All right? No more dragging that wagon. That means when you open up your mouth, you're going to have to speak differently. You're not going to be talking about what you talked about last year. That last year is done, and hallelujah for that. Amen? You know, the Bible says that we know in part and we prophesy in part. So God speaks to us at different times in our lives. Sometimes He uses people. Sometimes we love it when He uses people. Sometimes we hate it when He uses people. It all depends on what people bring. But sometimes He uses people when we don't want to listen. See, He's been speaking to us and saying, hey, cut that wagon loose. Stop talking about you and your failures. Stop talking about them and their failures. Can I tell you, God hates gossip. Yes. Tell your neighbor, say, you better knock it off. Because we have all done it. Amen? We've all done it, but it's time to knock it off. He hates gossip, and it destroys the body of Christ. We know in part and we prophesy in part, and God wants to speak to each one individually as we learn how to listen to Him. And then the next question is, are you willing to go in the direction that He is taking you? See, because that's what vision is all about. Vision is about writing down what God's speaking, but then we're going to have the courage to go and do where He's taking us. Because where you want to go isn't the issue. Where I want to go isn't the focus. It's where He needs me to go. See, so in your vision this year, as you're writing it down, when God starts to speak to you, are you willing to go in the direction He wants you to go? Oh, but God, I have this planned out already. Oh, but God, this is where I want to be by the end of the year. Oh, yeah, but this is what I like to do. So bless what I'm doing. Make it happen when He doesn't. People fall apart. God said, but there's so much more over here. There's so much more in my plan. There's so much more freedom in my plan. And so as we look at your vision for the year, number one, you know, is the Lord giving you direction? Number two, are you willing to go in the direction He's calling you? I'm not interested in my direction. I'm only interested in His. And we're going to have to change the way that we prioritize our lives. Because every day He wants to speak to us. And if we're not going to listen, he's going to bring some others around us to help clarify the word that he spoke. And I like to hear it from God better than I like to hear it from man. And I don't know about you, but he does it so much nicer, so much more gentle, right? When he speaks, it's like, oh, Lord, I'll do anything. Sometimes when people speak, it's like, and we start to justify why we didn't do it. Okay, maybe just me. But this is where he wants us, because he's got more for you. And the direction that he wants you to go this year is greater than what you ever experienced last year. There's a greater freedom. There's greater understanding. There's a greater love that you are to dispense. Because when you walk close to him, that love comes, right? Day after day after day. But it's about you dispensing a greater love on the face of this planet, which affects other people's lives and draws them to the Father. And that's the direction I believe that he's going to take each and every one of us. Because without love, we're just clanging cymbals. Amen? Yeah. You know, we've started from the beginning of the year, and we talked about that this year. We talked about discipleship. Tell your neighbor, say, you're a discipler. Tell your other neighbor, say, so are you. Tell the person behind you, God's working on you. All right. You see, everyone in here is a discipler. You have to be a disciple. We said you can't be a convert, right? What does a convert do? A convert comes and sits here, listens to somebody preach, and then does nothing the rest of the week. Doesn't study, doesn't pray, doesn't study to show themselves approved, and doesn't build in anyone else's lives. That's not why we're here. We're here to change the world. If you're part of Rock Solid Church, you're part of a world-changing entity on the earth that the Father has created, because Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. And so if we're going to build his church, we're going to be a part of what he's building disciples. That's what he did, right? He changed the world with 12 of them. He changed the world with 12. And this is going to be our focus. You know, and I believe that as we reduce it down, what a disciple is, it's someone who studies the word and does it. That's really what it boils down to. There's all kinds of different definitions that you can use. But the reality and the bottom line was they spent 3.5 years with Jesus. They listened to what he said, and then they went and did what he told them to do. Right? Isn't it that simple? Right. So part of it is I have to love God, right, with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength, and I got to love people. It's really that simple. I've got to love my wife the way that Christ loves the church. These are things that he's called me to do. So I got to know the word of God and then just walk in it. I don't have to walk in it according to what someone else said. I have to walk in it according to what he said. Right? Because every one of us have a different calling. Tell your neighbor, say, my calling's better than yours. Well, that's your calling. That's yours. Are you walking in your calling? Are you excited about your calling? Do you desire to fulfill the call of God in our lives? That's a question that only you can answer before your God. I think that your calling is amazing. I think it's powerful. I think your calling is mighty to the pulling down of every stronghold there is. I think every demon in hell has to bow according to the power that you walk in your calling. Don't try to walk in my calling. You walk in yours. They're different. And it's beautiful. It's powerful. I think that so many times people are walking around trying to find the move of God. I believe that God is doing a million different miracles every day. I believe that he is doing so many things. The move of God happens every single day when we obey the word of God. Instead of going around and chasing and looking for the outpouring, we are to be the outpouring. Amen? So many times we're waiting to see someone believe the word of God, step out in faith to do the will of God. Tell your neighbor, say, that's me. Try. That's all God's looking for. He's not looking for perfection. Ask all the men and women that have served him and the ones that he's done amazing things through. They've all had failures. They've all had faults. They all had weaknesses. But they said, I trust my God. And I'm walking in him. And I know I've told you guys before, but I remember reading about one brother, and I can't remember his name now. I read everything that he had at one time, and Jack was his first name. I can't remember his last name, but he was when A.A. Allen and them guys were doing a lot of tent meetings in America. They said there was, I think they said there was like 500 or 5,000 tent meetings going on every day in America at one time. And this guy, Jack, he went to one of A.A. Allen's or something. He said, well, if God can use him, he can use me. And he went out and bought a tent and started preaching. And the miracles and signs and wonders. He went there and he just prayed for this one lady and the cancer fell off right in his hand, fell right off her face. He just peeled it off and threw it under. Look at that. God's a good God, isn't he? He saw someone else walking by faith and he said, if God can use him, he can use me. That's all it was. He didn't have some great knowledge. He didn't have some great understanding. But he had a faith that God would use him. And I believe that God will use you. Amen. See, that's what I think every time we get together. Oh, God can use them. God can. Listen. If God can use me and my wife, he can use anybody. If he can use the Romanos, good Lord, he can use anybody. I mean, Steve Beagle and Liz, yeah, if he can use them, forget about it. You guys are in. This is a piece of cake. All right? I mean, John Scannell. John, he can, you imagine? It's beautiful, isn't it, John? Yeah, it is. If he can use John, he can use anyone. I mean, Steve and Kate, come on. You guys live up on a mountain. God can really use you. What are you going to do, chase billy goats around up there and try to get them saved? I mean, come on. But he's going to use anybody that will say, I believe that my God can use me. That's all it takes. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength, and I believe he can use me. And then we're going to have to do what he says, right? Write that vision down, and we're going to have to do what he tells us to do. Cut the wagon loose. It's the first thing he's going to tell you to do. Let it go. Who you were is dead. You're somebody new today. You know, many travel from place to place to find that move of God, but I really feel like this year, God wants to use each and every one of you in a miraculous way. Amen. Not looking for someone else to be the leader in that moment, but you're the leader in that moment. Amen. I'm telling you, we've come through a time and a season, and I believe that God is changing the direction, the thought process of each one. You're a miracle worker. 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 It's just that simple. When you allow the miracle to work through you. The miracle is the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Amen? When you allow him full reign and rule in your life, we turn off the television, we open up the word of God, we study to show ourselves approved, and then we implement it in every area of our lives. So many areas of people's lives, they refuse to implement the word of God. Not us. We're opening up to every single one. Amen? All right. If you have your Bibles, open up Genesis 39. Because as we, I want you to know, the title today is The Lord is With You. Just tell your neighbor, say, The Lord's with you. Tell your other neighbor, say, man, he's all over you. See, that's the reality, that's the truth, and that's the way that we've got to see. He is. Yeah, well, I don't feel like it, brother. Well, we're so thankful that we don't walk by feelings. We don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith in what the Word of God says. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'm always with you. He said, I live on the inside of you, the Spirit of God. If you've asked him to come in, it's a gift that God has given, amen, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide and to teach you. He's the greatest teacher there is. You know, but it's like high school sometimes. You don't listen to the teacher. How many times were you writing notes? Do you like me? Circle yes or no. And there the teacher is giving you some brilliant stuff. And you're like, huh? Yeah, silly things. Have no idea what the teacher said. Sometimes it happens the same thing with the Holy Spirit. He said, hey, go over there and see them. Huh? Huh? But it's a rerun, and I got to see it for the 37th time. Don't pull me away from this Holy Ghost. So the Lord is with you. You know, and I just love Joseph in the Old Testament. And as we go back and look into Genesis, Joseph, just an amazing figure that we watch and we see. You know, it's a type and shadow of Christ coming. But in Genesis 39, verses 2 through 6, it says, "The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." Now, first of all, he's in the house of his master, so he's a slave. He was bought, or he was sold by his brothers, and he was bought by another man. And it goes on in verse 3, it says, "Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he had done or he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house and all that he had owned he put in his charge. It came about," let me get my glasses on, that's better. "It came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field, so that he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. And with him there, he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate." And I just love the beginning of verse 2 where it says, "The Lord was with Joseph." That's all. That's a qualifying statement right there. So the Lord is with whatever your name is. Put yourself in there. The Lord is with me. That's what qualified Joseph. Because let's remember, Joseph was sold into slavery. They said he was probably around 17 years old. How much did you know at 17? Right? Joseph didn't have all. He didn't know how to run a house. He didn't know how to organize everything. But he was a faithful man and he knew the Lord. He was taught the word of God. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of righteousness. He was a man that knew how to work hard. He knew how to work. And he did whatever he was asked to do. And that's why the favor was poured out upon him. But it says the Lord was with Joseph. There it is. You don't need anybody else or anything else. Joseph had no family members with him, did he? The only thing he had, it says the Lord was with Joseph. Here's a teenager getting sold into slavery. Potiphar buys him. He becomes a slave. Joseph doesn't, identify as a slave, which is the biggest issue. Amen. He identified as a child of God, a chosen one. And here it is, a chosen one. Now, who wants to get chosen to become a slave? Joseph didn't get, he didn't choose to do this, but he did make a choice. The Lord is with me. And no matter what situation I'm in, I'm not going to act any different. And this is the key that God wants. What's going on in your life right now? He doesn't want you thinking any different than you are mighty to the pulling down of every stronghold. He doesn't want you thinking anything different except that you are loved in the household of faith. He doesn't want you thinking about anything else other than whatever you put your hands to, he's going to prosper. How many people want to sit around these days and expect the government to take care of you? Good Lord, if that is your vision, Jesus help the church. Because we're heading for failure. Listen, God wants to bless the works of your hands. Sitting around is not what he has called us to do. He's called us to go and change the world. That's what he's called us to do. And that's going to take effort. That's going to take discipline. It's going to take being inconvenienced. Oh, that nasty old curse word, inconvenience. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to call anybody. I just want to stay home tonight. I don't want to do anything. It's time we did something. We didn't do anything for a year almost. It's time to get back at it. Amen? Yeah, some of us were busy all year, but there was a lot of things that God removed from our lives. Hallelujah that he got rid of some of them things last year. Amen? We thought we needed that stuff. We thought being that busy was a good thing. I believe God's doing something different. I believe that he cut away a lot of junk that the church was doing that didn't add to the kingdom. And I believe he wants to do things a little bit different. And I'm open to change. I'm ready and willing. And so here he is, Joseph. He's a chosen child of God. And yet he's got a master and he's an Egyptian. And he's got to submit to him. See, no matter where God brings us to, your boss, I guarantee you, you go in there and you work and you put in a little extra time. You honor your boss. You don't talk bad about him behind his back. You don't condemn him. You don't complain about him because he doesn't pay you $37 or $57 or $87 an hour because that's what you feel like you're worth. But you hired on at a certain price, and to give him your whole heart, to work hard, encourage everybody that you work with, I guarantee you that you'll start to change everybody in that place. Guaranteed. I guarantee you the boss won't have a problem with you if you come in early and stay late. It's funny how it gets quiet when you talk about work. Not only did Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph, which qualified him, he becomes a slave and he starts serving. And it says, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian. Isn't that amazing? Because a man of God did what he was supposed to do, he listened to the word of God, he obeyed the word of God, and everything that was given into his care, he took very good care of it. It was somebody else's stuff. He was put over all of the servants in the house. So now he's got disciples under him. He's got to train these guys, and he's got to get them ready and right in order to take care of the Egyptian's house. And he does such a good job at building those men underneath him or around him that Potiphar puts him in charge of all of them. He says, everything in my house, take care of it all. You know, God does the same thing with us. He says, everything in the house, take care of it. He said, I've given you all power, all authority. I've changed your name. I've filled you with the Spirit. I've not withheld any good thing from you. Now go, take care of everything in the house. Don't take care of it all. And I want to bless it. I'm going to add. I'm going to bless those that are outside the house because of you. And I really believe that that's what God wants to do in each one of our lives. But we're going to have to walk in that kind of an integrity. Genesis 39, we see that Joseph, we know that Potiphar's wife accused Joseph of, you know, trying to have his way with her, and she ripped his coat off, and he took off running because he was a man of integrity. And in Genesis 39, 21, 23, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph. Again, here he goes to jail, a chosen child of God, sold. It said, but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. I don't know about you, but that was never one of my goals or visions or dreams, is to have great favor inside the jail with the jailer. I wasn't planning my whole life out hoping that one day I would have great favor with the jailer as I sat behind bars. But that wasn't Joseph's dream either. But guess what he did in the midst of it? He walked in integrity no matter where he was. And he walked in righteousness, and the chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. See, no matter what situation you're in, you can still prosper. No matter where you're working, no matter what happens in your life, no matter what goes right or wrong in your life, you still have a chance to prosper. Things didn't go right in Joseph's life. Here he was, the best servant in the house of Potiphar, and he gets thrown into jail. He goes from one level of lowliness to another level of lowliness, right? But it doesn't change his character. And that's what God's looking for. Does your character change from 2020 to 2021? Do you become somebody different? Prayerfully, our character grows stronger all the time in the things of God. But the Lord was with Joseph in jail. The Lord was with Joseph at Potiphar's house. The Lord was with Joseph in jail. It didn't doesn't matter what comes this year. I want you to know the Lord is with you. And you've got an opportunity to walk in victory or walk in defeat. And I believe that God is going to show you how to walk in victory, and you're going to change people's lives around you no matter what comes. See, the issue is not what the government is going to do. The issue is, are we going to believe what God's word says? It doesn't matter whether they lock it down, open it up. None of that stuff matters. Because you still got a telephone. You still got Zoom. You still have opportunities to build into people's lives. Amen? No matter what they do, it doesn't change anything. Many would say, well, you know, Joseph's in jail. He's locked up. He's done. He's got no influence. Really? He gets put in charge of everybody in there. Now he's got more disciples. He's teaching them how to live, the guys that are in prison, the lowest ones around. Here he is, a child of God. He's probably one of the only ones that I've ever talked to. I didn't talk to Joseph, but I read about him. But the other guys that I've been preaching in the jail for years since Greenville, the maximum security over there and the ones in Hudson, I don't think I've ever met someone who admitted that they were guilty. They were all innocent. Joseph said he's innocent too, you know. But we read the rest of the story. I believe the word of God. Joseph was innocent. But I can't tell you that if I've ever met an inmate or somebody that was in jail and said, brother, it was just a mistake. I'm not guilty. I'm innocent. We all are. Not. But Joseph, here he goes in and God blesses him in the midst of it. See, does your situation dictate your attitude? You know, I was talking to my mom the other day and then talking to Pastor Chris. And they went over and they brought a meal over to my mom and said, as soon as they walked into the house, my mom said, come here, and she started praying for them. Here they were coming to bring a meal and to pray for her. And as soon as they walked in, even though she's had multiple strokes, she's still confined. She can get out of bed by herself now, praise God. She's getting stronger, and God's doing the miraculous, and we're so grateful for that. But you see, the hope didn't diminish because she can't do what she did before. The faith didn't diminish because she can't walk around and have the freedom that she had yet. Nothing changed in the power that she possesses, even in the midst of a setback in this time and season in her life. And I'll tell you, that speaks volumes to me. When I walk in, my mom is always so gracious and so grateful for anything that anyone does. And then she's always still talking about the things of God. She's talking about what she read. She's talking about what she prayed. She still has women come over and they get together and they do a prayer group at her house. Nothing changed. And it just reminded me of what I was studying in Joseph, that it doesn't matter what comes, it didn't change her character. Right? The mind did not get altered on the call of God that God has given. And I want you to know, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what kind of failures have happened in your life, whether it was your failure or someone else's failure, it can't change the call because the Lord is still with you. Tell your neighbor, say, the Lord's with you. And also with you. Okay, now we're going back to the Catholic Church. But Romano got all excited. Did you see him when I said that? He was Genesis chapter 41. It says, so Pharaoh said to Joseph. Now we know that Joseph was in prison. Joseph in prison for a couple of years, 2-3 years. He was down there, the baker and the the wine taster. They come with dreams, and Joseph interprets their dreams, and he says, please don't forget me. And then they leave. Can I encourage you? Those that have blessed you and built into your life, don't forget them. Don't use everybody as a stepping stone. Don't just forget when those that have come and spoken things into your life that have changed them, and then you just ignore them. That's what they did to Joseph. You see, no matter whether people listen to you, agree with you, and tell somebody else about you to get you out of jail, okay, meaning your situation, whatever you're in, God's going to make a way, amen? No man is in control of that, only God is. And so it says, so as Pharaoh said to Joseph, Joseph finally gets a meeting with Pharaoh because he can interpret dreams. It says in verse 39, since God has informed you of all of this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. Standing before the leader of the known world there. And the first thing he says is, since God has informed you. Every chapter, every situation, it goes back. What did Joseph say to all of these guys? What was he proclaiming in all of this? When his brother sold him, when Potiphar bought him as a slave, when he gets thrown into the prison, and then he stands before Pharaoh, and yet every single instance, it says, the Lord was with him. Amen. And even Pharaoh notices, since God is with you. Listen, when you walk around and you meet other people that are, whether they're in government or wherever they are, dignitaries, whoever they are, is that the first thing when you leave they say, we know that God is with them? Does anyone say that about us? See, they said it about Joseph because of the way that he spoke, the way that he lived, and how he performed his tasks. And it wasn't in the best situations whatsoever. He says, Pharaoh says, you should be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage only in the throne. I will be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand, and he put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen, and he put the gold necklace around his neck. He had him ride in his second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, bow the knee, and set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And then Pharaoh named Joseph. He renamed him, and he gave him Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, as his wife. And Joseph went forth over the land of Egypt. So here's a man that gets sold into Egypt, and then eventually he's the ruler of all of Egypt, only second to Pharaoh. God gave him the land into his hand because he acted righteously in the midst of his situations. And I believe that as we walk in righteousness before the Lord, he's going to give us the land. I believe that everywhere you walk, when we stop complaining, we stop murmuring, we stop gossiping, we stop talking about others and looking at their lives, trying to justify our lives. When the church starts acting like the church, God gives us the land. Joseph acted the man of God. He walked it, he spoke it, and he received from his walk. Everywhere he went, he was blessed. Everywhere he went, he was put in charge. It wasn't because he was the smartest guy in the room at 17 years old. Okay? It wasn't because he had everything all figured out. It wasn't because he did it all already, and now he knew what he was doing. He just did what he knew what he was supposed to do. And that's what I believe God is getting, bringing us back to. You know, Matthew 28, 20 says, and lo, I am with you. I am with you. Don't doubt it that he's with you. Sometimes we have done things in the past because we thought God wasn't with us and nobody else was around us, so we thought we can get away with it. I want you to know God is with you. Always, right? And we're in the same place. The Lord is with you. Joseph, you know, as he walked through these things, he's just a great example of how to walk through the situation that you're in. Your situation is no greater and it's no worse than what Joseph walked through. You know, as we walk into the throne room of God, we were praying this morning. We have access into the throne room of God. God is with us. And no matter how troublesome life can be at times, as my wife said earlier, you know, in this life you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And that when we were in prayer in there, all I could see is when we come before the throne room of God, that when you walk into the throne room, and we have access, amen, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Everyone that names the name of Christ has access. Don't doubt it. I can't tell you how many Christians are not sure whether they have access into God's throne room or not, into his presence. I want to tell your neighbor, say, you have access through Christ. Okay, so if you know Jesus Christ, you have access into the throne room. And when you go to the throne room of God, his presence is more than enough. Amen? And can I tell you, when you leave with an abundance of grace, abundance of mercy, abundance of joy, abundance of peace, abundance of power. When you leave God's throne room, when you go out to go do his will, after you spend time in prayer and in worship and in his word, just enjoying him, when you start to step out to go and do your day, you are so filled with joy and peace and power and authority. There's nothing lacking in you for the whole day. No matter how many devils come up against you and try to distract you, you've got more than enough. No matter how depraved your neighbor is, where they don't even know what love is, you've got enough because it's overflowing because you've been in the throne room of God. There's nothing lacking when we step into that place. When we leave, we're overflowing. And it's that well that doesn't run dry. It's that well that doesn't run dry. Joseph's well didn't run dry. Isn't that amazing? Your brothers sell you to a bunch of marauders that are heading over to Egypt to sell slaves. You get sold into Potiphar's house, but his attitude didn't change. And I've said it before, he's the one in the Old Testament that we never heard him complain. There's no writings of him complaining. I'm sure that he had thoughts, but you know, one of the things that kept Joseph going was the vision that God gave him as a young boy 12, 13 years old, told his brothers, I see you guys bowing before me. His father didn't like it when he said, you're going to bow before me too, Dad. That got him in a little trouble. Maybe he spoke things a little prematurely. Maybe he didn't use as much finesse as he could have. But I believe that that vision is the thing that drove him all of his days. Oh, no, Lord, you gave me this dream. One day I'll see me standing in victory. Amen. He enjoyed the victory all the way through. He was in charge of everything. So the only thing Joseph did in Potiphar's house was say, hey, you take care of this, you take care of this, you take. Here he is, a slave of an Egyptian, the chosen one. And yet he has authority over all the rest of the slaves. Same thing in prison. The jailer didn't worry about anything. Let me ask you a question. Can your boss not worry about anything when you come on the job? Does your boss not even think about it? Whether you're at a cash register, do they have to make sure they put a camera when you're working? Now, most of them have cameras anyway because of the times that we live in. But do they even think about anything? Do they know that when you leave, the keys will be in the right spot, locked up? Do they know that the alarm will be set or whatever it is? Do they not doubt anything when you walk out of there? Have you given your best, your all, and done everything unto the Lord? Forget man. Have we done our best unto the Lord so that when you leave, nobody wonders whether or not you have done like Joseph has done? Because I'm telling you, we'll change the world by living in that kind of righteousness with that vision before us. You've got a vision before your God. You've got dreams that God has given you. You've had words of prophecy spoken over you. They're just as powerful as Joseph's. Joseph had no idea when. None. He thought it was a little bit sooner than 30 years later. Isn't it amazing how Joseph stands up there and he becomes the greatest in the land at 30 years old, the age of a priest? The priest didn't enter into the priesthood until 30. Jesus didn't start preaching until he's 30. This is what God does, and he shows us these type in shadows all through the word of God. And now Joseph is number two in the whole land. I want you to ask yourself and to go back and look. Husbands and wives, that's a great place to start. Are we men and women of our word? Is there any doubt, you know, that whatever money's come into the house, you don't have to worry about it? There's no doubt on either side. Is there any doubt that the love for the children and the focus of making sure that all of their needs are met is the same on both ends? Is there any doubt that the word of God being preached on both sides, husbands and wives, in the house and prayer, that those are priorities that we're building in our lives? See, that's where we start, building line upon line, precept upon precept, the way that Joseph did, which carried him all the way through all of his trials and tribulations and then gave him that place of fulfillment that God brought him to. And I believe that God wants to bring you to a place of fulfillment. Oh, I got to hurry. He was trustworthy. We need to be men and women of God that are trustworthy. We need to be like the two spies that came back and said, our God. The other spy said, oh, we're grasshoppers in a land of giants. But two men said, our God. Our God. Joseph said, my God is with me. You see, we're going to have to make a decision and a declaration of faith in every situation that we get into. Joshua in chapter 5, verse 13 to 14. And Joshua sees a man in white with a sword drawn. And the man says, whose side are you on? Or he asks him, whose side are you on? Ours or the adversary? He said, I'm on neither. I'm on the Lord's side. That's got to be the confession that every one of us have. See, because right now in America, they're trying to divide the country. Because the enemy is doing this. Look, if you're looking at a political system, then you're looking way low. That's just man being manipulated by the deceiver. All right? And the deceiver knows that a house divided cannot stand. We all know that one. So if you're wrapped up in that political process, then you're going to be picking sides and you're going to be dividing what God wants to bring together. And just like the angel said, he asked him, whose side are you on? You on our side or the adversary? He said, neither. I'm on the side of the Lord. That needs to be the answer for the whole church. Every one of us. We cannot change the way that we speak. 2 Chronicles 20 and 12 says, our God, you will not judge them. For we are powerless before this great multitude. This is Jehoshaphat when the armies that were coming against him. And he said, we are this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you, Jehoshaphat said. Don't know what to do, but I'm not taking my eyes off of you. And what did he do? He went into the altar to seek the face of God. Listen, if you're not sure where you're going this year, you're not sure and clear on a vision, I want to encourage you. Go before the Lord and get your eyes on him. He's the one that opens up the heavens and rains down. He hears and answers your cry. You see, what we're going to have to do this year, we're going to have to do an act of faith. An act of faith is something outside what you can do on your own. It's going to have to be an act of faith. Joseph couldn't do this on his own. Whatever he was going to walk through, if he tried to do it on his own, he would have destroyed everything that he put his hands to. But he said the Lord was with him. And I want you to know, an act of faith is knowing that the Lord is with you, but you're going to have to step out in some way, shape, or form where you're not in control. And you guys like control. We all do. We like to do what we want, when we want, and how we want. You know, we've said in the beginning, we got a word during the fast that this is a leap year. And I believe it's a leap year of faith. Okay, last year, people backed off. People shut down. People, fear came all over this country and around the world. The house of God started scattering, and fear came in because of the voice of men who had a plan and a purpose to bring that division or to bring fear and to bring and to manipulate certain aspects of it. I want you to know, no word from man can void the words of God. Because he didn't tell us to go run and hide. He told us to go and change the world. There's different ways of doing it. We realize that. But I want you to know, I believe this is a leap year. And it's a year for you to take a leap of faith. That means you're going to have to step out and do something you've never done before. Maybe something that, and definitely something that you can't control and you can't make happen. Oh, that the people of God would step out and just go and pray with someone they've never met before. Oh, that they would go and they would share a word that the Holy Spirit puts on their heart, that shares it with someone on the street, someone in the store. An act of faith, a leap of faith. Another town. You just go to another town, stop in the diner, and just wait for that divine appointment. Looking for that person of peace. That's what Jesus told them to do, right, in Matthew chapter 10? Here's these guys that were trained by Jesus. He released them two by two, and he said, hey, go on out there. Get them saved, bring deliverance, bring healing. He didn't tell them where to go. He just said, go. How about you start to pray and say, Lord, where am I supposed to go this week? Where am I supposed to go this week? Lord, I want to go someplace different where I don't know anybody. Isn't that wonderful? Because you see, I believe that as you go someplace where you don't know anybody, that God's going to give you a divine appointment. And that divine appointment of one is going to turn into a divine appointment of three. And five and seven in somebody's home doing a Bible study. That's what I believe God can do and wants to do through each and every one of us, because he did it through his disciples. That's what they did. That's all they did. Enjoy him. Walk in him. We can't walk according to the world. Because the world, a lot of times, it's a proclamation on the outside, but corruption on the inside. See, we've got to be proclamation on the outside, power on the inside, not the corruption. We got to walk in that power. Because a lot of times the church has made the proclamation, but then they've drawn back. I believe it's a time of proclamation and power. Proclamation on the outside, power on the inside. That's what Joseph did. You see, our government does the opposite. They made the proclamation, and how wonderful was it that for the first time in the history of America, we have a woman of color as a vice president. That's a wonderful, wonderful feat in America. Proving once again that anybody can be anything they want to be. Amen? That's wonderful. But on the same day, they sign an executive order that says if a boy feels like he's a girl, he can go and race against girls and he can take their trophies and he can take everything from them. See, that's the proclamation on the inside, but corruption on the inside. Proclamation on the outside, but corruption on the inside. Saying one thing, but then destroying from the inside. All the fighting that we've done for women to have all of their freedoms only to be taken away now because of somebody that made a decision that I'm going to destroy what's been being built. That's all the enemy wants to do. He's just using people as puppets. He's using men and women as puppets that don't bow their knee to the word of God. The proclamation of healing in the nation, in unity, right? And then we're going to pay for more abortions than we ever had before around the world. Proclamation on the outside, but corruption on the inside. Do you see what it looks like? We can't be that. It's got to be proclamation on the outside, power on the inside, so that we walk the same every single day of our lives. Some wonderful things that have happened. And then man turns some things around and tries to destroy. It just breaks your heart. How man can be that blind, that foolish, to think that they can speak out of both sides of their face with forked tongues and think that anybody would follow us. And that's what we got to be careful that we don't do as the body of Christ. Amen? Not speaking out of both sides of our face, not speaking with a forked tongue. What we proclaim, we live. What we proclaim, we are. What we proclaim, we surrender to. What we proclaim, we accomplish, just like Joseph did. It didn't change him. He changed everybody around him. The worst situation that I read, and yet he changed everything, and God gave him great favor everywhere he walked, everywhere. So this morning, I want you to know the Lord is with you, to do his will, walk in his ways, and to enjoy the victory in Jesus Christ. Do his will, walk in his ways, and enjoy the victory in Jesus Christ. Do his will, walk in his ways, and enjoy the victory of Jesus Christ. That's simple. He's with you. When you come into the throne room, there's no lack in the throne room, and he gives you more than you can handle. Why do you think we break out and start just crying in the presence of God? Why do you cry in the presence of God? Because you can't take it all. He just loves you so much. Like, and we just lose control because his love is so amazing. And then sometimes we just fall on our faces because his presence is so powerful. We can't even stand. It's glorious when we walk into his presence and you have access there anytime you like. All because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the body that was given. You lack nothing. I want you to know your Lord is walking with you. Your God is with you. Your God goes before you. Your God has changed your name. You are a new creature. Nothing's impossible because you believe. Nothing. The Lord is with you to do great things. Not stupid and foolish things. We already did that before we were saved. Amen? Good. How about we start looking at great things? I'll fix them. Wait till I show them. How arrogant can we get? God, I want to serve you. Make me better than them. Make my ministry greater. Use me, oh God, in a better way. I'll prove to everybody. What silly thought processes they are. How about, Lord, have your way. Lord, what would you like me to do today? Aside from everybody else in your life, no other thoughts about other people going rattling around inside of your brain. What anybody else did, or even what you have done yesterday, today's a day of miracles. Today's a day of freedom. Today's a day where your gift is to be put on display for the whole world to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen? That's what the world needs to see the church acting as. Stand up this morning. You know, there's usually one of two ways that people come to Jesus Christ, either situation or revelation. I like revelation better. Situations get ugly, amen? I came through some situations before I came to know Jesus Christ. I'm praying for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, everybody that I come in contact with, that they get saved by revelation rather than situation. Because some of us are so smart, we have to go to real dark places before we bow our knee before Jesus Christ. I want to see people get saved through revelation, through the word of God, through your mouth, before they dive into some deep, dark hole. I want to see them set free by the power of the God that walks with you. And so this morning, as we close in prayer, he walks with you. He walks with you. He walks with you. He walks with you. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt it. He walks with you. Every step you take, he walks with you. The Lord is with you. He is mighty. He's strong. He's beautiful. And I know we're a couple minutes late, but I want to read this. I sent this to Mr. Cartwright the other day because this guy's name, this preacher's name is Peter Cartwright. It's his great-great-great-grandfather. Well, maybe just as great because it was 1785, so. He was a Methodist circuit rider known for his colorful appearance and direct manner. Cartwright became a preacher in 1802 and was later ordained by Francis Asbury and William McKendry. In 1812, he was appointed a presiding elder, now district and superintendent. He served in that office for the next 50 years. The Reverend Alfred Day with the United Methodist General Commission on Archives and History shares an 1855 National Magazine article written about this colorful preacher. Mr. Day says, he was war-torn and weather-beaten. That's a good-sounding preacher right there. Now, isn't that a perfect thought about a preacher? His face was wrinkled and tough, his eyes small and twinkling, and his hair looks as if he had poked into a bag of Kilkenny cats and had no time to comb it since. Peter Cartwright was a Methodist circuit rider known for his appearance and his direct manner, recounts the Reverend Alfred Day, who heads the church's Archives and History Agency. Cartwright even told future U.S. President General Andrew Jackson that he would be damned to hell if he didn't repent. I like this guy. The frontier was a rough place for early circuit riders, says Day, but Cartwright had a reputation for holding his own. He spent nearly 50 years taking the gospel to places where only crows and Methodist preachers would venture. Said, I had been from my father's house about 3 years and 500 miles from home. My horse had gone blind, my saddle worn out, my bridle reins had been eaten up and replaced at least a dozen times. My clothes had been patched till it was difficult to detect the original any longer. I had just 75 cents in my pocket by the time I reached the Ohio River opposite Maysville. The money was gone. My parents received me joyfully. I tarried with them for several weeks. My father gave me a fresh horse, a bridle, a saddle, some new clothes, and $40 cash. Thus equipped, I was ready for another 3 year absence. The Reverend Alfred Day said, There was such a passion to communicate that message that somebody would endure their clothes basically falling off their back just to be able to share that message. Cartwright was known as a talented preacher, orator, and influential leader. He challenged and beat Abraham Lincoln for a seat on the Illinois legislature, then lost to the future president a decade later in 1846 bid for Congress. Credited with 8,000 baptisms and 10,000 new church members at retirement, Cartwright said these words, that with all the losses and crosses, labors and sufferings peculiar to the life of a Methodist traveling preacher, I would take the same track over and over and over again with the same religion to bear me up rather than be president of the United States. I ask your prayers that you will remember an old man who has spent his long life in service of the church, and I would do it again. Some of the things that we have to endure seem pretty minuscule when you read stuff like this. $40 a horse, bridle, and a saddle. I'm good for 3 more years of preaching the Word of God. I want you to know, it's time for a step of faith, a leap of faith this year to go where God has called you to go. You might not look like much when you're done. You might look old leather-faced, eyes twinkling, rough in the saddle. But if you'll do what he's called you to do, you wouldn't trade your life with anyone else. Because what he wants to do is something spectacular through you. So if you need to learn how to practice riding a horse, Cartwright's got one. You might want to start out with his cow, but take your horse. You got a few more horses under your hood than Cartwright had back then. Find a place that God's calling you to go. Share the word of God. Preach the gospel. Love the lost. Honor God. And watch him move mightily, because he's with you. He's with you. He's with you. And if he's with you, who could be against you? Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the men and women of God in this house this morning. Thank you for bringing us back together. Lord, each one and those that are watching, Father, I thank you that this is that day that you have ordained for us to be together. It's that day where we have an understanding of how you use men and women in every situation. Father, reminded that every time, every single time, oh God, we called out, you were there. Let faith arise in the name of Jesus Christ. For we agree the enemy has been scattered. He no longer has dominion or authority over our lives. We truly are free indeed. Father, give us the eyes of understanding so that when we walk out of here, everyone we see the purpose of God. Bring back to remembrance all the words that we have read, all the words that we have written. Father, those things that you have deposited into our hearts, bring them back to us, oh God, in the name of Jesus, so that we're able to share life and life more abundantly with all of those that we come around. Thank you, Father, for vision right now in the house of God. Each one, Lord, not just one, not two, not 20, but Father, each one, that you would give them a vision, they would write it down. And then, Father, they would act upon it as Joseph did. No matter what the circumstance, he still acted upon the vision that you have given him. And I pray that we would act upon the vision no matter what's going on around us, so that you would be glorified and people's lives would be drawn to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for setting us free today and walking with us all the way through this crazy life. We love you, we honor you, and we look forward to the adventure that you have for each one of us. We lay our lives down so that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, God bless you. Write it down what God's speaking to you. He is with you.